This episode is sponsored by Fry's Family Foods to celebrate the launch of their new Tea Time Saviour, the totally delicious and 100% vegan Stars and Moons.
The breaded shapes are a great source of fibre and protein, ideal if you want more meat-free meals for the kids.
They cook from the freezer in just 10 minutes, which means I already love them. A fuss-free kids' tea time that you know they'll polish off? Yes, please.
Now, on with the show.
You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy College. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
On this week's show...
My friend come round, but and he goes, do you know that coca melon is abusing your child's brain and it's like crack for babies and it's going to hurt her? I was like... I spent like a month worrying about this, looking online, like trying to find data on that, trying to find what a load of bollocks. It's completely fine and she loves it and it's okay.
Welcome to another episode of Sweat, Snot and Tears. I am feeling tired, Wendy. Can you pick me up, please?
I've just been involved in like full school run drama, so I can pick you up with the news that on the evening pickup today, one lady in a very beat up little old car managed to smash into another lady in a brand spanking new Tesla. And you can imagine the fun that happened on the school run.
Was there shouting? Was there swearing?
Well, I don't know because I stayed in the car with the windows up because I was a bit scared.
I'd have got out and been like, what's going on?
Of course you would, yeah. But I was like trying to desperately get back because this is like one of the guests I've been most excited about talking to. And I'm thinking, I can't rock up late and say, really sorry, this particular person I've just been listening to a school run now. Please introduce the guest and maybe she can help.
I hope that she can. Welcome Joss Stone. How are you now?
Oh, that was sweet. Oh, I'm fine. How are you girls? Well, it sounds like you're very stressed.
You can't see her, guys, at home, but she's looking mega glam. Where are you and what is going on?
So we are doing a photo shoot for a Christmas album.
Christmas!
I know.
Oh, so have you got a channel all things Jingle Belly today?
Yeah, so it's very Christmassy the last few weeks. I've been in the studio recording like amazing orchestras.
So you're in Nashville. Where are you?
Yeah, so right now I'm in Nashville. Everything happens in Nashville, like all the studios are here.
I've never been and it's somewhere that I would absolutely love to go.
Oh yeah, you'd enjoy it. There's a lot of fun things, lots of music. You should pop over, have a little party, bring your kids.
Well, it beats the school run. I might do it.
Was it an actual proper crash or just a little bump?
At low speed.
It was a little dink, just a low speed, too many people in one very small residential street dink. You know, the usual school run. See, yours are too little. You've not got to this particular hell yet, but it's coming your way. Don't you worry.
Congratulations on the pregnancy, lady love.
Oh, thank you so much.
You've got a one-year-old to run after as well, right? So on top of the joys of a bump and the joys of writing an album, which is obviously not that tricky, I'm sure, but it's probably kept you busy.
It's easy when the songs are already there. It's fine. It's just tiring. Yeah, there's been a few days where I have just said, look, I'm going to get an Uber in or something because I can't keep my eyes open. And I feel like that's dangerous.
Yeah, so maybe driving's not the best.
Yeah, that's not the right thing to be doing when you've got a little babe in there. It's like, well, any day it's not the right thing to be doing, but even more so. So Cody sometimes will drive me in, but yeah, it's dangerous on that freeway when you're as tired as I am. But when you get into the studio, it's fine. Everyone wakes you up and life happens around you and music kind of gives you that spark and then you're all right again.
I was going to say, does music help?
Yeah, it's like coffee. I was driving home. It takes 45 minutes to get home because the traffic's like worse at that time. And I always like to get back so I can put Violet to bed and that because I don't like missing that. That really upsets me. So I'm driving home literally at the time everybody else is. And my eyes started to kind of take long blinks. I was like, no. So I put on, there's this song that my publisher sent me just for fun. It's called Love Theory by Kirk Franklin. And it's a gospel song with Kirk Franklin's like the preacher that shouts over it like, yeah, praise the Lord, everything's great. Oh my God, this song woke me up. I cranked it up and I just had the best drive. It literally was like a shot of espresso times 1,000.
Okay, Wendy, I think you and I need this in the mornings.
But nobody needs to hear. The difference is people would pay to hear her do it, but no one needs to hear us do it. That's the thing. So why did you move all the way to Nashville? How did that happen?
Well, I've lived in different places and I think... Basically, I wasn't really living anywhere. I was doing this total world tour where I wanted to play in every country. So that meant that I would go away for a month and do that as much as I could and then come back. I was coming back to Devon, England, and then I thought, no, I want to move somewhere else because I wasn't finding what I wanted there. So I moved to New Jersey randomly, took all my dogs and everything. Set up a life there, never really lived there. Then I met Cody along the way on my world tour just at the end of it. And he was living in Iraq. But, I wasn't going to move to Iraq with him. He was like living in the embassy. So it wasn't really his home. You can't just like move in. Although I did really like Iraq. So I thought, no, we're not going to live there. But then the pandemic happened. We still didn't have anywhere. We went down to Florida to see my mom with all the dogs. And then I got pregnant and I was like, okay, we should probably live somewhere, you know? And he's American. So I thought, right, my dogs are over here. So let's just stay here for a bit. Because the drama of getting him to England and all that, we're not married or anything. I made a record here when I was 7 months pregnant with Dave Stewart, which was a lovely experience. The musicians here are just so good. I mean, the level is, it's through the roof, amazing. So I thought, well, let's live here. And now we're here.
And do you think you'll stay? Is it Nashville forever or what's going to happen?
No, I'm going to come home.
It's interesting. You still call England home.
Yeah. We're like on holiday here. You know, it's not real. It's not real. We don't know anyone. We just, you know, come in and come out and say hi to the neighbours. So it's super sweet.
Has it been weird having a baby somewhere that you don't think of as home? Has that been like,
I think,
did you miss having a kind of known support network or did you build one of your own?
My mum came out, which helped, because that's really the only person that I want to be around in that time. I don't really want a lot of people around. But yeah, I did always think I was going to have my baby in Devon, in Exeter. That was kind of like always in my head. But I was here and I really liked the doctor, even though he sometimes says things I don't agree with. I like him because he's really straightforward and he's like a no-nonsense type of chap. And that made me feel really safe. So I think once you start to get a relationship with your doctor or your midwife, you don't really want to change it because that you trust them.
And so he's your doctor for this one as well.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah. Because I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm going to stay here because I feel like, well, Violet's alive and well.
Don't rock the boat.
Let's do that again. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the rest of them that hopefully I'll get to have later on in life, I will be home by then. So I have to start again. And that's actually quite scary.
Is Violet chatting?
She isn't really chatting. She says bum. A lot.
That's a very English word. That's a very English word.
I know. She's so funny.
It would be butt if it was American. So bum is, she's obviously got it from you.
I know. She just, every time she like plonks down on the sofa, she goes, bum. And it's the cutest thing. She shouted it out in church, right? So I'm sounding like I go to church a lot. I don't. But my friend Ree came over and she was here on an Easter time. So, of course, we're in Nashville. She's like, please, let's go to a church. So we found this lovely place to go. And it was so sweet, really small, little country vibes. And Violet was perfectly quiet. She was listening to the music, having a lovely time until the preacher started to talk. And he was quite serious. Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't like he was super bright, sweet things. He was saying really serious things. You know, it's a Baptist church. And she started going, bum, bum, bum.
Oh,
bum,
I love her. Bum, I think she should be in my window again already.
I love her.
And what did he do? Did he say anything?
No, he just kept going. He just didn't, you know, he didn't lock eyes. And he's like, if you don't believe in this, you will be going to hell. And she goes, bum! Honestly, I love my girl. She's the best.
So is it true that you wrote your new album pregnant?
Yep.
How does this happen when you're feeling sick? How do you create something good? Or are we going to have lots of songs about sickness and vomiting?
Yeah, right. I feel awful. I've noticed that there is an amount of, and it only lasts a certain amount of minutes, I'd say, but there's an amount of time that you can turn on, or just turn on in general, and then you have to turn off. So like the fact that Violet is a toddler now, I just thought when I was with her in the first 4 months, I was so sick and so tired. I remember I called my mum. I said, Mum, how am I going to do this with the next baby? Because I'll have this baby to look after. And she said, Jossie, you just will. I don't know how or why, but you just will. And I've realized that there are those minutes that you can just go, right, I'm going to sort this out now. Right, time for bath time. Right, it's time for breakfast. Right, it's time to, you know, brush your teeth or whatever. You find those minutes and you just, your energy just goes, okay, time to turn it on. And then you, and that's the same with songwriting, I think. So when I was doing that, when I was writing with Dave, it's very quick. We don't faff about. We spend an hour. Maybe an hour and a half.
Good woman. I don't like faffing. Yeah.
I hate faffing. It's so annoying, isn't it? And then I get tired. It is a waste of time, waste of life. So if he went to the bathroom or, you know, out for a breath of fresh air, I would just lie down on the sofa and that would have been maybe six seconds. Yeah. And then he'd come back in and I'd pop right back up and go, yes, so about that bridge. How about like this? La da 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 da.
And I remember when I was pregnant, I used to take my coat and have power naps in the work disabled toilet.
Yes.
Because it was the only place I could lie down very quickly. And I could only be as long as anyone thought a wee might take. So again, very short. But sometimes you just need those little power few seconds, don't you?
Just a few seconds is sometimes, yeah, sometimes good. Have you had two kids?
Two, yes. And the disabled Lou was involved in both.
And we kind of tried to outdo each other's track record for vomiting the most in inappropriate places, basically.
Oh my God, really?
I just remember laying there, the CBeebies bedtime hour would come on and I knew that that bought me half an hour of not having to move.
Yep.
Because moving made me sick. So I would just literally lay there and I still can't hear the soundtrack to some of those TV shows without gagging. It's just inbuilt.
Oh, no.
Just the memory of how awful it was.
And you know what? The guilt, though, that comes with those TV shows. So over here, and in fact, I think it's in England too, the Cocomelon stuff.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. I love Cocomelon. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for Cocomelon because that gives you 5 minutes. And then my friend come round, and he goes, do you know that Cocomelon is abusing your child's brain and it's like crack for babies and it's going to hurt her? I was like, I spent like a month worrying about this, looking online, like trying to find data on that, trying to find what a load of bollocks. It's completely fine and she loves it and it's okay.
My eldest was brought up on a diet of Peppa Pig and she is 10 and she's a little bit odd, but I think she'd have been odd anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yes.
No, we've got to do what we've got to do.
And just like we all just need to kind of find our own balance. Like my son loves computer games, which I know that a lot of people are very against and are like, no. But you know what his other true love is? Reading. And to be honest, I can't get his head out of a book most of the time. So, you know what? A little bit of what you fancy does you good, I reckon.
Yeah, it's whatever makes them happy, I think, really. That's what we want. We just want happy babies.
That's all we want.
I mean, yeah, I'd give up everything just to put a smile on her face. But obviously, we want her to be healthy and all that. And then there's food choices. God, I have noticed that being part of this mummy community, it's a really beautiful thing. And it's great because there's lots of Facebook pages and stuff where people will help you if you're confused about stuff or worried, or why isn't she sleeping, or, you know, is she teething? I don't know. You know, should she be smacking me in the face, or is that not a good thing? You know, so there's lots of amazing things that come with that. But then there's also that judgment that I think we do have to ignore a bit. We have to literally let it wash off us.
You have to steer your own course, because only you know what's right for you, and only you know what's right for them. But it's hard, isn't it? Who do you turn to for support in that? Do you have a little mummy gang? Do you just turn to your own mum? Like, what's your mojo?
My friend Lucy and my mum, of course, my mum, but I've been asking her questions about babies for about 35 years. So since I could talk. So I know exactly how my mum would do it, because she's trained me. But yeah, my friend Lucy, she has two really great kids, and she's a really straightforward, no nonsense type of girl. And I love asking her for advice.
Oh, big shout out to Lucy. We all need a Lucy, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do.
I think Wendy's my Lucy. She's who I message at 1 a.m. Yeah. When I feel like I've been a bad mum that day.
Oh, it's so good to have, isn't it? Because you don't really know.
I'm not sure my recommendation of a large gin and tonic is often the right
response.
Great
recommendation.
But you do need someone in your back pocket, don't you? You do need someone who you can turn to and go, I'm okay. I'm getting this right, aren't I? Ish, sort of.
Yeah, it's all right.
So is Lucy in America with you, or is she in Devon and you're ringing her at silly o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, she's in Devon.
Good old Devon, eh?
Yeah, I know. All my friends are there. It's kind of like, it's a lovely thing. Devon is a nice place to be from because, well, I say I'm from, I'm actually from Dover, but brought up in Devon. So it's nice because when you go back, nothing has really changed. And that can be boring for a younger person, like 15, 16-year-old, that's like, oh, it's so boring here. But it is wonderful to go back to. You know, it's protected. It's like a area of outstanding natural beauty where we're from. So even the roads and the hedges, they're all protected. They're going to be there. They're not going anywhere, you know, and that's such a comforting thought. So, yeah, I can go back and hopefully it will be just as lovely for her as it was for me.
Yeah, that's a nice thought.
Yeah, my sister's having had a baby. My brother's had a baby. My other brother's having a baby in July. I'm having a baby in October.
Oh, it's lovely for Violet as well to have cousins. Cousins are really important, I think.
Yeah, yeah, very important. So that's another reason why we have to go home.
Now, back to Fry's Family Foods, totally tasty stars and moons.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for easy ways to feed my kids more plant-based meals. And these fun breaded shapes are just the job. A source of protein and fibre, they make a brilliant swap for the usual chicken nuggets.
They're also Net Mum's recommended, which, if I say so myself, is kind of a big deal. In a poll of 50 Net Mum's members, 98% said they'd recommend Fry's Moons and Stars to friends and family. That's good enough for me.
Pick up a pack of Fry's Stars and Moons from Iceland or the Food Warehouse. Now, back to the guest. So you've been very candid about what, in your words, was a horrible miscarriage. And I just wondered what made you go public with that? Because lots of people, we've been there, it's awful and it's a really private thing. What made you decide to share?
So it was the most awful thing I think that's happened ever in my life. And I don't think that I needed to share it so everyone could feel I don't want people to feel sorry for me or anything like that. That's the worst thing. So I didn't share it for a really long time. But then when I got pregnant again, I say really long time, 6 months. For me, it felt like a long time. When I got pregnant again, I don't know. I just felt like I did have a baby before and no one knew him.
And you wanted it to be acknowledged.
Yeah, it was like, how can I just say, oh, right, okay, yay, we're having a baby again and it's so good. And it's like, yeah, but what about my little baby before? Like I think he was a he, I don't know, because it was only 9 weeks, but he was my little baby and now he's somehow still part of my world. So it feels like if I was to mention this one and not mention him, it seems like almost like not talk. It's like not talking about one of your kids.
Mm.
And that made me feel bad.
No, that makes total sense.
It's such a sad, horrible situation. I think no one wants to talk about sad things. And I'm one of those people.
We need to sometimes, though. We need to, don't we?
Yeah, I guess we do. And it's, I don't know if it helps. Definitely doesn't help me with it because it just is what is just sad. But maybe someone else, it might help someone else knowing that they're not alone. You know, so my doctor was like, now this has happened, you're going to realize that you're part of a massive amount of women that this has happened to. And the reason why you wouldn't know before is because people don't talk about it. So you might feel very, very lonely in this, but you're not lonely in it because so many women have gone through it. I don't know if that makes it better. I don't think it does, but it does kind of mean that you're not on your own in that terrible scenario. And not being on your own is a big thing.
Mm.
But yeah, I just wish that didn't happen, but it did. And I now I feel like there are things that we can do to avoid it. And that's another thing that bothers me about the whole scenario. So first of all, people don't want to talk about it because it's really sad. Obviously, that's can make you quite lonely. And second of all, people, doctors, the professionals will say, there was nothing you could have done. That does not give me comfort at all. I find that the most annoying, most frustrating, like, part of this is that I am not in control of that. And I feel like, so that means if there's nothing I could have done, nothing, that means that next time I'm pregnant, I'm going to run that same risk and I'm going to worry the whole time.
Yeah, it's quite anxiety inducing, isn't it?
Yeah, very much, because it takes all the control away from you. So it's kind of like they want to give you comfort. So they say, it's not your fault. Of course, it's not your fault. You didn't mean to do it. I get that. So there's like, it's very sensitive. These words are very sensitive. So like the word fault would mean you meant to kill your baby? I don't think so. But you are responsible for your body. And I have done things differently this time. I don't know. I don't know. I just wish that there was more answers so then we can avoid it for the next one. So there's this little place that I go to 10 minutes down the road from me. It's like a window to the womb scan place. I have been in there 4 times.
I think that is something that people who've been through miscarriage and then gone on to have pregnancies will be able to relate to world over. Because I think you just want the reassurance that everything's okay, right?
Yeah, and you don't know. And it's like, especially at the beginning, because you can't feel them.
And nothing changes, really. You feel sick.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's no indication of everything being okay or not.
No.
So you just end up, you have to just go and say, can I have another scan, please? Just tell me.
Yeah, I just want to make sure he's okay, you know? And I don't know, it's a stressful thing. And then you're thinking, if I get too stressed, I'm going to lose my baby.
Mm.
And I can't get too stressed because I love my baby, so I have to calm down. So it's a real head fuck.
I think what you're highlighting is so true, that actually lots of people say, oh, it's okay, you're pregnant again. But what nobody really acknowledges is how hard that pregnancy then is, where you try and negotiate with yourself all the things you think you did or didn't do, and whether you did or didn't do anything.
Exactly. It might have been nothing. It might have just been the chromosomal abnormality, or it might have been something outside of that.
All throughout my pregnancy, people were like, congratulations, you're pregnant. And I'd want to look at them and say, until I've got that bloody baby in my arms, can you all just stop with the bloody congratulations?
Yeah.
Like, just can we all just back off? Let's throw a party the day the baby's like here and well and we're all alive, right?
My dad said something to me on when I was pregnant with Violet. He goes, well, just look after yourself. And He's so funny. I got to the end and they told me she was growth restricted, and they were worried that this is my favorite doctor that I always argue with. So he's like, look, something wrong with your placenta. What's going on with your blood?
Yeah, you tell me.
I said, I don't know. You're the doctor. Is something wrong with you? I'm like, no, it's fine. He goes, no, your baby is massively growth restricted. We may have to take her out. I said, don't worry about it. She's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to grow her. I'm going to mentally.
How many weeks were you when they were saying that to you?
Oh, I was like probably 29 weeks or early 30s.
Oh, so quite early on.
Yeah. And then I was going back and back and he was saying, no, still small. We're going to take her out. Oh, no, she's growing. Oh, no, she's too small. Man, it was so annoying. I kept going in there and I was like, hi, doc, are you come to check on my massive baby? I just decided in my mind that everything was fine. And it all turned out okay in the end, but we had to have a C-section.
So how big was she when she came?
She was 6 pounds 14. She was fine.
Oh, she's fine.
So she in the last innings, literally on the 39th week, he goes, this is a mind over matter story. So he said to me, there is nothing you can do. And this is how I feel with the miscarriage thing, is they say there is nothing you can do to affect any part of your body. How ridiculous. Of course, there's something I can do. You are a doctor. You can't do anything for me right now apart from tell me information. I can either drink a pint of beer or a pint of water. There are so many things that I can do. And I can do meditation and I can do affirmations and I can do running if I want. There's lots I can do. So anyway, I decided that that wasn't true. And I was going to eat the world. And I did. I ate the world. I bought a sofa. It was fun. I had cream on every single thing I ate. And I just was like, no, I'm growing my baby. And I go back for the last month. And I could hear him outside the door. I'm like ready to have a whatever. He's going to check my vagina for something, I don't know what, whether it's open or closed or something. And he's got me in this outfit and I could hear him on the other side of the door and he was swearing. He was calling the guy that gave me the second opinion. He was like, hey, you remember Mrs. Stoker? I'm like, I hear him talking about me. He goes, her baby is in the fucking 49th percentile. He couldn't believe it. He was like, what has happened? This is so weird.
It's all that Devonshire clotted cream on everything, eh?
Yeah, I know. So, you know, you can affect your body and you can affect what's going on inside it, meaning the child that you're growing. You might not always get it right, but you can. You can try. Eat more cream, get a sofa and lie on it.
See, mine was the opposite. Mine was eat less cream. I grew rugby players.
Did you?
That was the problem. Yeah, I was diabetic, so they kept saying, you're eating too much. And I was like, I'm not.
I'm so hungry.
They kept saying, you're going to have this massive baby. And she was like 8 pounds. It wasn't that big at all.
Oh, really?
Oh. So I could have eaten more cream, God damn it.
The opportunity is not lost. You can bake for life.
But I'm not growing a baby, so I don't have an excuse. So how are you going to handle two? How's life and touring and megastardom with two in tow?
I don't know how I'm going to handle two, but I don't know how I'm going to handle seven. I want like so many kids. So I really need to plan. But I have to say, the only way that this is really a possibility is because of Cody. So when I met him, he was working away every 3 months or every month. I'm sorry. He would work for 3 months away in Iraq and then come home for a month. That was his thing. Then when we decided to have a baby and move, he was like, okay, I'm going to quit my job and come up with something else. So luckily, in the middle of the pandemic, he managed to get this job that's working from home. So that means that I can pop to the studio and he's looking after her all day. you know, we're not hiring anyone. There's no nannies. Of course, grandma's not down the road here. So we can't call her.
That's interesting that you say that, because I think we all assume that when we talk to a kind of megawatt star like you, that you'll have like 87 nannies.
Yeah, and I don't want that.
Night nurses and things coming out of your ears. Is there a lot of kind of, do you feel a pressure as a kind of superstar to do it in a very starry way? Or are you just like, I'm doing it my way and I don't really care what anyone else thinks?
No, I think that I've done enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds like a silly thing to say, but I've wanted to be a mum for so long. This is the thing I want to do. So the other things I've been doing, oh yeah, I like singing. Yeah, it's nice. I like writing songs and stuff, but it's often for everyone else. So my job is to give good feeling to everyone and to try and do that, to try and make music that will make people happy. That's my job. But this
is for you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would like to do that. So if I can set up my life, so my dream is to like write for other singers. I can do that from home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So I could drop Violet at school and come home, write some songs and then go pick her up. That's what I would love. So if I can set my life up like that, then that will be the perfect scenario.
How do you move into that? Do you write songs and like send them to people and say, would you like to sing my song? Or how does it work?
I don't think I know yet. I've just started. So I've got a new publisher now, BMG. And there's this guy here called Chris. And he, if I have any spare time from touring and stuff, he'll set up writing sessions with me. And then I'll send him those songs. And he knows who's looking for songs. So then he'll go, oh, Joss Stone wrote this one. Do you like it?
Oh, wow. So he's like your middleman.
He's my middleman, yeah.
Has it happened yet? Has anyone taken any yet?
Oh, I have over the years. But in this new kind of effort, I've literally had 3 writing sessions. So this is the very beginning of
that. It's really exciting. Of that.
I hope it works out. I hope people like want to sing my songs. I don't know if they will, but
I'm sure they will.
If not, I'll have to keep singing them. And then I'll be tired. But I just don't want to leave Violet. I don't really want to do that.
And touring with them in tow is hard. Like,
it's fine when they're small.
Deal.
Touring with babies when they're small is completely doable, you know? And on the bus, it's perfect. Cody works from his computer on the bus. He walks me to the stage with Violet. I say, okay, night-night, baby. He goes back, gives her a bath. By the time I'm finished on stage, it's time to put her into bed. So it's like perfect. But when she's going to school, that is not going to be a thing.
Who is it that was saying? It was Paloma Faith.
Oh, yeah?
She'd just done a tour with her little girl at school age and was about to do one with 2.
Oh, my.
And was like, this is trial and error. I'm not sure how this is going to work. And she felt really torn and conflicted about it.
And so did, what's the other singer called who we had? Jessie Ware. She was saying she found it really hard as well, because she said you just want to be in 2 places at once and you can't be.
I think, yeah, for me, I completely have let go of it. Like, of the idea of I'll only be doing the touring stuff when she's going to school if I can't keep the lights on any other way, because I'm good. I've done my touring.
That's a brave move.
I think it's a decision like you have to make, because I don't want my kids to grow up, look at mummy or daddy or anyone that they look up to and see them being cheered on by thousands of people. Because I've seen this in kids I've known growing up that are children of stars. So I don't want them to think that is what makes you valid.
Mm. And what gives you value, yeah.
It certainly would come across that way. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what we do is we put on a show. It's not real. It's not real. We don't wake up with makeup on. We don't walk around with a spotlight on us. We don't always have a microphone in our hands. That's not real. But it's a show. It's entertainment. So when thousands of people are going, oh my God, I love you. It's like, okay, that's fine for the hour that it's happening. But if your child grows up and is watching that constantly, they're going to think, well, no one will love me unless there's thousands of people screaming my name. No, 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 no. I don't think that's what I want. So I have to really think hard about that and just let her go to school like a normal person and roll around in the mud.
So what, I guess, is next? You've told us that you're trying to maybe segue into some songwriting for other people. You're currently glammed up, ready to do Christmas in May, which is just standard. What else? What else is going on?
Got my baby coming.
Well, yeah, there is the bun in the oven business as well.
Well, I think cooking for me is a really fun thing. I've been doing a lot of that. I've been doing a lot of that in my life. I love to cook.
Okay, if you were cooking for me and Wen tonight, I love talking about food. What would you cook for us?
Do you love pasta?
Yes.
I love pasta. Honestly, it's just delicious, isn't it? I know it's not it's not light on the hips. There's a lemon pasta that I make that is delicious with like Parmesan cheese and garlic and basil. It is lush. I'll send you a recipe.
Is that what's for tea tonight?
Do you know what? I fancy it now. Oh God, we shouldn't talk about food. What are we doing?
Is Violet good with her food or is she fussy?
She is a little bit fussy, but it depends really what day it is. I just keep trying the same foods. She loves noodles, but she mostly loves to throw them around.
That's standard.
And then she'll eat one and then it's fun. Yeah, and she loves peanut butter and Marmite. Thank God she likes Marmite. And she likes Branston pickles. So I feel it's going well.
We wouldn't be able to give her a British passport if she didn't like Marmite and Branston pickle, would we?
I know, exactly. And beans, she's obsessed with Heinz baked beans.
Yeah, she sounds, again, she sounds like our kind of girl.
Oh, I can't stand a baked bean.
And
no.
I never knew that about you.
Oh, you don't like them.
I
love Heinz baked beans.
Now, Annie, I've stolen all the questions, so you can ask the last one because I've just been gabbing away.
Okay, and the last question, I promise you we're not just asking you because you're a singer. Hold on one second because the darlings are being loud again. Stop, please. Thank you very much.
She's quite scary.
How old are these babies?
10 and 8, which I think might be the most challenging ages. You've got all this to look forward to, Jo.
Oh, I can't wait.
We would like you, please, to imagine that you're tucking us into bed, that we're Violet, and we can't sleep, so we need you to sing us your lullaby, please.
That's the sweetest, sweetest question. Okay, so I've made a lullaby especially for her.
You're too cute, Mister.
Well, it's because she kept crying so much and it was like the saddest cry. And why do they cry so much when they're tired? It breaks my heart into a thousand pieces. So I wrote this little song, just singing away. And now it's turned into something. So here we go. I say, in my most quiet voice, and by the way, I had to find my voice for her because I think I was too loud at first. And at first, I didn't even want to sing to her because I was too embarrassed. Cody was like, you should sing to her. And I'm like, yeah, but what if she doesn't like my voice? Like, what if it makes her cry? I was so worried about her not liking my voice. Isn't that silly? I never thought I'd feel that, but I did. Anyway, so here it goes. I'm holding my little baby. I say, it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired. Mommy gets tired too. So rest your head on my pillow. Go to sleep, little one. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired. Daddy gets tired too. And it goes on. There's another verse and another verse.
Are you ever going to record it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think so. It would be nice to do a little lullaby, like a little EP, like a lullaby album.
Well, I was about to ask from the bottom of my heart, could you do a lullaby? Because lullabies are shit.
Some of them
and
are.
And they're really rubbish. So just do a nice lullabies album for all of us that are sick of lullabies.
Yeah. And then that way, some mummies can just have a rest and press play and I'll sing their babies to sleep. It's like, And I have one of those little owls that, you know, you press the hand and it makes a song. And some of those songs, the heartbeat's great, but the songs, they're annoying.
They really are.
They're like, yeah. So I thought maybe I could make something to go in one of those teddy bears or something that's a bit softer and has like different, more thicker tones.
There we go. Solved.
Excellent. Thank you, ladies.
Right. Well, Merry Christmas. Off you pop. Go and do some Christmas.
Yes. Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah.
All right, lovelies. Thank you so much.
Oh, good luck with the pregnancy. I hope it all goes to plan and everything is cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you for being a lovely guest.
Yeah. Lovely to chat with you too.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Joss. Goodbye.
Thank you.